Good afternoon on this beautiful, crisp Saturday, January 16th, 2021. You're listening to RadioSaintPete.com. I'm Mike Rickard of the St. Pete Sports Connection on RadioSaintPete.com and our sister station, Sunshine 96.7. We'll be talking a lot of music today as we have some musical guests coming on. And we've got the we've actually got the music producer of 96.7, Jay Kolb, coming to join me here as he winds down Central Avenue. As I said, each and every Saturday morning, we are live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, right here on 13th and Central. Great hub, especially on a weekend like this weekend with the road to the 55th Super Bowl over in Tampa. And what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit about the opportunity down here at Ferg's. Each and every television, over 85 strong, will have the NFL games today. And tomorrow, you got two games today and two games tomorrow. Today, you've got the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams. And then that's the first game, 4:35. And then you got the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens in the late game at 8:15. We try to provide a positive portal of positivity. Portal's a new term I've learned, Jay. So we'll talk about how I fumble, stumble, and bumble through this show. As I said, Jay Kolb joins us. Thanks for showing up, my man.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, Dave McCarthy, he's executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation. He's rolling down 75. So we got a jam-packed show. Dave McCarthy will be here to discuss, the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Ted Williams Foundation has a relationship with them, and they just picked up Urban Meyer from Ohio State. And then later in the show, about 1:30, we will have Panko, and that's Mike Panko and Melissa Myers, friends of mine. And I'll turn that over to you because that's the music element. We'll have to do some on-the-fly changes. One acoustic guitar, two microphones. So hopefully we can adapt. We did last week with Mike Twitty.
Yep, I'm sure it'll work.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your bio before Dave gets here. You told me the other day, it was interesting as you discussed your career in the footwear business, because that's big business in sport.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I had a good run at Adidas USA. I was head of marketing and product development for running and track and field for Adidas USA. This was a period of time when, let's just say Adidas was being challenged rather severely by Nike, and we were playing catch-up through pretty much most of the 80s and 90s back in those days. But it was a great time. I was there for about 6 or 7 years. And kind of moved on to some other aspects of the footwear business and then changed careers totally in the late 90s.
Share the story, if you would, just to get rolling. And then when Dave gets here, he'll be intrigued by it too. As far as the Boston Marathon sponsorship, which was huge.
Yep.
And you helped in that process of negotiating that contract.
Yeah. And this would have been the early to mid-80s. I had a friend who worked for the BAA, the Boston Athletic Association, who runs the marathon. They've run it since day one. And they were losing a contract with Onitsuka Tiger for the numbers that the runners wear in the marathon. This was back in the days when it was just a Tyvek number. There was no computer chips involved or any of that kind of stuff like they do now.
21st century technology.
Exactly, exactly.
You could cheat. You could only run a portion of the race and still be claimed the winner. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, the Rosie Ruiz story.
That took a set of kahunas, and, of course, he doesn't have any, but that certainly took a set, my word.
Yeah, and, I mean, it was pretty obvious to everybody that she had not actually run probably more than about a mile.
Were you there?
No, I was not there. No. So, we put together a package with Adidas and the Boston Marathon folks. We became the official footwear and outfitter of the Boston Marathon, and that contract is still in place today. It's something I'm very, very pleased of. It was a great relationship.
You're very proud of in your lifetime achievements.
Yeah.
Give me a guesstimate of a dollar figure that the value of something like that.
Oh, gosh.
Hundreds of millions over time?
Over the long haul, maybe not quite that much, but, yeah, you're in the multi-million dollar category over the long haul.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We'll be here until 2 o'clock today. We got a quite a versatile show, I'll say that today. It's not actually, Jay, is crisp as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah, this is beautiful right now. This is just a wonderful day in New England, you know. It's a little cool by Florida standards, maybe.
Well, as I said last week, it was a little – you didn't have the sunshine last week. And I wore long pants for about the fifth time. And I still got cold, and I thought, you are soft, dude. You're from Iowa. And I was telling my son that lives in Des Moines, and he's like, Pops, what's wrong with you? You used to wear shorts when it hit 32 degrees in Iowa. And here I was. I was cold to the bone that day.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different kind of cold.
Absolutely. I grew up in New England, couldn't wait for the winter to go skiing and doing all those wonderful things. And now it gets below about 50, and I'm miserable. It's crazy what happens.
We've gotten soft, and well, not in our old days. I like to say we're on the Champions Tour. In golf, if you're 50 and above, it's the Champions Tour.
Yeah, well, 50 is in the rearview mirror quite a ways for me.
For both of us. As I said, each and every television the next 2 days will be in tune to NFL package. And today you've got the Packers and the Rams at 4:35. The Bills take on the Ravens at 8:15 tomorrow. The Chiefs and the Browns, and then tomorrow night at 6:35. It's your Buccaneers against the Saints. The Bucs stop here. We're going to have some people swing by and just give their favorite Bucs memory. They're dining right now, and we'll have a little fun with that. Here comes Dave McCarthy. So now I'm going to be tag teamed by two people from the Boston area.
Uh-oh. You're in deep trouble now.
Exactly. He's the executive director, as I mentioned, of the Ted Williams Foundation. You mentioned that your father was a huge Ted Williams fan.
Yeah, my dad was a very big Ted Williams fan. He played baseball in high school and then in the Navy. And he was a catcher, and he was absolutely a huge Ted Williams fan.
Well, as I mentioned, tomorrow I'll be here, actually. The Ted Williams Foundation will be we'll have some memorabilia on sale tomorrow before the game, probably about an hour before the game, and I'll stick around until a little bit after halftime. We'll have a little bit of fun there. And Dave will be pleased to see that I'm going to be manning the booth again this week. I got a couple of things that we'll share with everybody. And then, of course, as I mentioned, you can stop. The Bucs stop here. Mark Ferguson will stop with a quick memory of his favorite Buck moment. And we'll let David talk about this Jacksonville Jaguar. Let's slide him in for a bit. Put these headphones on him. We'll get some business taken care of on the sports side. And then I want you to share your best Boston Marathon story. Now, I know you didn't ever run in it, Dave McCarthy, the Boston Marathon. However, did you ever attend it?
Yes. In fact, the Red Sox have a game, Patriots Day, every time there's a marathon there. I did run to the drive-up window at McDonald's once.
Yeah, did you? Before you went down to the... the marathon?
Yep. Some great stories. I mean, that's a great piece of history up there. But you know what? Running's not my specialty.
Hey, I want to tell you right now. When I came to the event last year, was it like February 22nd, when we had the Hall of Fame event across at the Trop, I was pretty impressed at how quickly you move around the Trop getting that baby ready.
Well, that's because we're making money.
Money motivates Dave McCarthy.
Money motivates. But there's some great history, though. A guy named Johnny Kelly. Lived into his late 90s. I mean, he used to run it every year.
Did you know him?
I met him once at an event at Fenway Park, but to be honest with you, I'm not a my background's not in running or marathons. I respect those guys.
Well, you better get one to your left who worked for Adidas and negotiated the contract for
him. Oh, really?
Yeah, very impressive.
Very impressive, yep, yep.
Like a million years ago.
Yep.
Well, we're all in the same age group there, Jay. Hey, on a serious thought, I just want to make certain that we keep our thoughts and prayers for Sheriff Chad Cronister and his family on this day. And everyone, I'm certain, in the area that's listening is aware of it. But I just wanted to extend our thoughts and prayers for Sheriff Chad Cronister and his family.
Well, my son's a Hillsborough County deputy, so near and dear to my heart. And my background for 30 years was law enforcement, so it's a tough situation.
Yes, it is. All right, let's talk a little little baseball. Great announcement yesterday for you that 7,000, that's a good start. You know, the Rays are going to allow 7,000 people to come to their first games. I think as the COVID gets crushed by hopefully everybody's attitudes about masking and the vaccine, they'll be able to change that probably June 1st. You know, we'll see how the first 2 months go.
I'll take it. MLB comes out of New York City, so they're the ones that call the shots on these stadiums. I'm glad to see finally people being allowed in. As you know, we work with the Jacksonville Jaguars Foundation, and we've done all their football games this year. And they've allowed 16,000 per game up there. We have NFL protocol as far as, you know, masking and being prepared and keeping the products, you know, clean and safe, not allowing crowds at our, you know, to get too close. But the bottom line is they've done it safely with 16,000, and they've done it all through the season. So I think it's about time MLB got online, and especially in spring training with the outdoor stadiums.
What are you hearing about spring training?
I'm hearing, and I have none of this officially, but as you know, I work with seven different teams. Red Sox, Twins, Rays, Phillies, Orioles, Tigers. I'm hearing around 25%. I'm hearing it could go up to 35%. A lot of people in baseball have told me they've been pushing for 50%. I'll take anything at this point. I think we've got to get baseball back open for people. I think it's not just the regular health, it's the mental health. I think we need to, you know, be safe. But at the same time, if you can go to Publix and walk up and down the aisle wearing a mask, why can't you sit 8 or 10 feet apart from somebody in a baseball stadium, especially outdoors? So I think they've, you know, they've got to get on the right part of the science here and be, you know, try to put some common sense into it, and let's try to get people back to work.
Now, you talk about your relationship with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're probably ecstatic about the Urban Meyer decision.
I'm more ecstatic about the number one draft choice. You know, here again, I grew up a Notre Dame fan.
Me too.
So I'm not a Clemson fan, but everything I've seen of this kid, he seems he's the real deal.
He's the number one draft pick. All this conversation about the Ohio State quarterback is certainly
I think he's
just conversation.
Yeah, and I think he's the kind of kid that can come right in and start. We'll see. As far as Urban,
6'6".
Oh, he's the real deal. The other thing that I think is going to be exciting for the fans up there is, you know, Urban Meyer, love him or hate him,
I don't have an opinion.
He's an organized guy.
He screwed my team over, the Hawkeyes.
He's going to bring in some. He's going to bring in some talented people, and from everything I've read, he's going to do more delegating than he has in the past. He used to run himself into the ground, as you know, physically. So I think he's got the brain power to do it, turn that team into a winner, which would be great for Florida. We have the Bucks, and then we have the Jags. So. And we'd have a couple of Hollywood people quarterback in each team. It's going to be fun to see the young one, and it's going to be great to still have Brady here. So I think some exciting few years are coming up here for football fans.
Speaking of years, how about the matchup tomorrow between Brady and Breeze? You've almost got 90 years of quarterbacking, and that doesn't take place in a young man's sport. Pretty impressive. Us old guys are pulling for each one of them.
Several years ago when the Patriots were supposed to play them in the Super Bowl, it looked like that was going to happen, and New Orleans got knocked off. That would have been a great matchup that, you know, when they were a little bit younger, but it still have the two old Lions going at it. It's going to be great to watch, and we just hope Tampa Bay can pull it out.
Rocking chairs on the sidelines for in between snaps, but I think it's going to be a great game. Now, in any sport, if you've been beat, I would have rather, if I'm a Bucs fan, I like where I'm at. If I was a Saints fan, I wish they would have lost one. But right now, as far as hungry,
the Bucs have nothing to lose.
Precisely.
And I'll tell you, I've seen it a million times, including, as you know, I'm a lifelong Patriot fan, even before they were good.
You have to bring that up.
Well, even before they were good.
Babe Parilli?
Oh, I go back to Babe Parilli. I go back to sitting as a young boy in Fenway Park in left field on wooden benches, watching the then Boston Patriots, worst team in football. Dolphins.
Is that when the Sullivans owned them?
Sullivans owned them. The Dolphins killed us every year. I paid my dues. But I will tell you this. I've seen the Patriots go into a playoff game. They're supposed to win it all. They've beaten a team once or twice. And third time's not a charm. So I like the Bucs' chance down there in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yep. Yeah, I've been to that stadium. I saw the Patriots lose to Green Bay there in their first Super Bowl. So, you know, these two teams know each other well.
You were at that Super Bowl?
Yes, I was.
I'm a Green Bay fan.
The only reason I was there, I bought my tickets, myself and a buddy, and somebody offered me obscene money for our seats. And I couldn't talk my buddy into selling it and watching it on the TV. That's how good them that
what,
they offer.
What kind
us.
Of dough?
Oh, it, back then, I think I bought the tickets for $300, and they offered me something like $3,500 each, which would have been
$300.
Yeah, it was.
Your buddy needs to have his.
Oh, believe me, we're not buddies anymore.
You said money inspires you. I can't believe you didn't beat the holy hell out of him.
And then two bad things happened. Not only did we lose, and it was depressing. But, you know, as a state police...
Oh, my God.
Here's the worst part. As the state police commander up north for 25 years, I had a police what they call motorcycle weekend. Very much like Daytona Beach,
okay.
Only it's Laconia, New Hampshire. So I got to be honest with you. No offense to you, my friends that are all bikers out there, but you get to hate motorcycles after 25 years of dealing with this stuff. So what do you think the halftime show was? Harley Davidson's driving all over the stadium floor with their fumes, roaring their engines.
Oh my
I was
God.
Ready to jump out of my seat and you know, take a slow boat to
go
China.
Go postal on them.
Oh, so yeah, that was not a good memory.
You're listening to St. Pete Sports Connection. We're going to have a lot of fun down here today. Everybody in the St. Pete Tampa area is going to have a lot of fun all weekend. The Bucks stop here. And tomorrow night at 6:35, it's the New Orleans Saints. See how that rolled off my tongue? The New Orleans Saints against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This place will be jam-packed. Last Saturday, it was nuts down here, Jay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. I'm assuming it's going to fill in quite a bit, though.
Well, let me tell you, with this COVID thing, I will actually be helping tomorrow because we have to be very concerned. And the fans, I understand, they're used to being at Ferg's and they're in, you know, face-to-face, hugging each other, high-fiving. Last Sunday, I walked around helping Mark. And I made certain that everybody has to sit down. We'll just talk about it. I mean, you have to sit down. If you're drinking, sit at a seat. If you stand up, you've got to have your mask on. And if you're inside, even outside here. And I'm going to be taking people's temperatures as they come in. Mark's really cranking it up because, you know, everybody, they want people to enjoy themselves. But, you know, for several reasons. You don't want your business shut down. And I think, you know, if people... listen to that protocol, well, I'll be fine.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, now I got to tell you a little story. I asked him about his athletic career in high school, and he says to me, Dave and I, we got to know each other almost a year now, going on a year in February, and he said, well, actually, after my sophomore year, I decided to play in a band, which is brilliant because you're a music guy. You get more chicks if you're a broken down old jock. So he said, have you ever heard of the band Steam? I go, of course. Nah, 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 nah. Hey, hey, kiss him goodbye.
Yeah.
And he can share the rest of that story with you.
Well, I did tell him this. The girls all cheered for the football players on Saturday.
Yeah.
But they went home with us on Saturday.
There you go.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, we played rock and roll. A band called The Vibrations. We actually won the Massachusetts Battle of the Bands up there. And we did a... Nobody that's young will understand this. We did a 45 record.
with a big hole in the middle.
Yeah, we became the house band for the Commodore Ballroom in Lowell, which had all the big shows at the time.
Oh, this is my old stomping grounds.
Is that your old grounds? Okay.
Yeah, I grew up in New Hampshire. My parents are from Methuen. So, yeah, we're...
It's old home
week
well,
here.
Actually, you got to use the French. I'm from Methuen. So, anyway, long story short... One of the bands we backed up was Steam. And, of course, it's still being sung in college stadiums today.
Sure.
Nah, nah, nah,
yeah.
Hey. Well, it was one of the few songs that they did well. They really weren't a great band. So what happened was the crowd kind of turned on them, and we're a dance band, so we spent most of the night performing out there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And to this day, I say to people when they sing that song, you know the name of the band, most people can't.
Right.
It's
right,
Steam.
Right.
And then I had another friend in New Hampshire, you'll like this, by the name of Brad Whitford. And I always told him, nobody's going to buy that heavy metal crap you play. and that heavy metal crap that Brad played was in the band called Aerosmith. So I am not one to take advice from when it comes to music.
Oh, that's right. Well, you see, the real part that I failed on in terms of music is since I was, you know, high school, I was always kind of one of those acoustic guitar, James Taylor.
Love James Taylor.
Those guys are not the ones that get the girls. It's the electric guitar guys that get the girls. You got it. I didn't understand that little subtlety of the whole thing.
You remember the Buckinghams?
And sure.
Well, we had two trumpets, a trombone, but we had a little kid. He's still playing today, by the way, John Mansfield. Cute kid. The girls would scream whenever he came out. So even if we had a bad night, we didn't sound good. Teeny Bopper City, they
there you
all
go.
Loved it. And everybody wants that. I call him the Davy Jones with the monkeys. They all want that little cute kid. Probably not so much today, but back then they did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, so, absolutely.
You know, when you're a young kid and your band's making $500 a night, this is 1969.
Sure. Yeah.
It's either that or play football for free. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't see me going to the NFL. Yeah. I'm going to go with the band.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, that's the reality of the music business now is that, you know, you made maybe $150-$200 a night as a solo performer back in the 70s.
Yep.
That's what they're paying you now.
Right.
$150 a night.
Right.
It doesn't go quite as far now.
Yep. I had the good sense to get in. I had the good sense to get out.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection as we evolve into music, and Jay will talk a little bit more about it, but at 1:30 we will have Panko, Mike Panko, and Melissa Myers, and Melissa's a good friend of my wing woman, Terry, and I met her 4 years ago, and she's got like a Janis Joplin voice. You guys are going to love her, and then we'll talk about getting her on 96.7 FM, and I got to get you to start streaming that station once in a while. A lot of local music, all local music, actually, and he's the man behind the plan.
Yeah. Yeah, we have about 380 artists, so that's solo, duo, bands, in the rotation now. We broke through 1,000 songs a couple of weeks ago. We're probably up to about 1,100 songs now, and it is all local music. So we're really building a great collection across all kinds of genres. We have rock, we have pop, R&B, we have a very nice jazz collection we're building now. We've got a little bit of sort of contemporary R&B hip-hop. I'd love to get some more of that on.
You can back off on that. No, I know. You got to broaden the audience.
Absolutely, absolutely. Got to be open-minded here.
All right, well, let's get back to sports here. I wanted to get your predictions. This is live radio.
I know. I told him we got to talk later because he's from my church.
I know. I feel
you know what I mean?
You guys will talk for days.
Yeah. Listen, you're the only guy in Florida from Iowa, okay?
No. I'm afraid you're inaccurate, my friend. I see a lot of Hawks gear. Of course, you wear it proudly just in case you see it. Hawks, yeah. There's so many of you down here. Think about a Red Sox and a Rays game. That proof's in the pudding.
That's true. Should I give him a little New England humor? You know, when I was at that Super Bowl, the Boston guys were all yelling at the Green Bay Packer fans, quick, come to the corner. There's going to be a milking contest. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean,
hey.
So after the grain grows, what is it you do out there in Iowa?
You go to beautiful lakes, Lake Okoboji. No, have you been? You've been to Des Moines. You went to see the Hellickson's.
I've been to Des Moines. Yep, yeah, a great kid. Hellickson.
He just had his first child, though. Jeremy Hellickson used to be at the Rays.
Also, the home state of my hero, John Wayne, born in.
I've been to his home.
Yep.
In fact, John Marion.
Right, Marion. I think it's Marion Morrissey, wasn't it? Or Marion Morrison.
Morrison.
That's his real name.
Yep. John Wayne. Little.
Better get off that subject because we won't be politically correct.
Okay. Well, I'm not concerned about it this time. I am not talking politics. You know what? I told my mother, who watches Fox News 13 hours a day.
Oh, gee.
Turn it off. I found her.
It all off. All those networks. You'll be happier. Listen to music on what's the station again?
96.7
yeah.
Sunshine.
96. Listen to that music. You'll feel a lot
better.
That's
what I've been doing, Dave, ever since the election.
And don't worry about things you can't control.
Exactly. I'm worrying about me and having fun and positivity. And in fact, the show on the 2nd to start the year out, we had Maura, and I'll tell you what, Sweeney and Jim Sweeney, and she is the ambassador of happiness. You would enjoy this lady.
Yep.
And she has the same, she leans the direction we do. I'll just say that.
Yep.
It was a great show.
We're all Americans, and we just got to find common ground, and that's what I love about baseball. You get there, and it's about baseball. Then we can all agree with that.
Let's talk Rays baseball. We talked about they're going to allow 7,000 fans start the season, which made Mark Ferguson very happy, made you happy,
yep.
made me happy. I get to work a little with the Ted Williams Foundation. Sure. But what about the moves they made during the offseason? I mean, you become accustomed to them as being involved with the Rays. But as a Packer fan and as a Yankee and a Cubs fan, you know, I have players that I've latched onto over the years as a kid, and it's hard to latch onto a player here in Tampa.
You know, I hear that all the time, and I think all of baseball, it's that way.
Sports.
You know, when I grew up in Boston, we knew every single guy. Very rarely would somebody be traded. Same with the Yankees, with any of those old-town teams. But I'll tell you this about the Rays. I love a kid that's hungry when they're coming up. They're hungry. And they're paying them.
Because they want the big bucks.
They're paying them for what they're doing to get there. And then when they get there, and we've seen this a million times, I don't care if it's Bryce Harper. $400 million? No.
Outrageous.
The Rays get the best bang for the buck in the area that they're in. Snell, I love Snell. But the jury's out on that trade because every time they've made one, it's come out pretty well. They were in the World Series with a small budget. That tells me they're brilliant. And people get mad all they want. They get mad all they want. I'll tell you one thing I told Mr. Sternberg when I had a chance. I said, I see you criticized a lot in the newspaper about not spending money. It always amazes me that all of us that have never made that kind of money are telling him that knows how to make it, how to spend it.
That's a great point, Dave.
No offense. Yes, I'd like to see us buy a player here and there, but the man got to the position he was in being smart. And all of us, let's face it, I don't know about you guys, but I've had a couple of days where I had to run to the bank and cover that checking account because it was going red.
Well, you've only had a couple. You're fortunate. I was a small business owner.
I'm in no position to tell him how to spend his money.
A lot of flipping and the flopping to keep my little sports company alive in the day. Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, every year, if they're not winning a playoff, they are competitive. That's a competitive team. You're seeing exciting young players. And, you know, the game has changed. People move around a lot now. So I love the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm born and raised in Boston. I was with Ted Williams for 14 years of his life. I can tell you this right now. I am a huge Tampa Bay Rays fan. I was just over Brett Phillips' house, the kid that got the Game 4 hero that got the hit.
Does he live in Largo?
He lives in Largo. One of the nicest young men.
He looked like one of the nicest kids
you're ever going to meet. I know Kevin Kiermaier pretty well. Wonderful.
Great kid,
great kid. Big Purdue football guy.
He's from Indiana, folks.
You've got some great players on that team. Willie Adames. What a guy. I mean, just.
Great kid.
Not only a great kid, terrific to young people. I mean, we've got a really good bunch of kids here, and so it's easy to root for them when you have people like that.
Well, you know, the only thing, and you and I talked about it, through they were animated text during the World Series. I don't like decision-making on the field made by analytics or by numbers. Mm-hmm. And I know they prove out, but that did bother me. There's no more gut feel. There's no go with your horse. And that, of course, we're old guys. We used to see, you ride your ace, and you don't see that anymore.
The only thing I would caution the new generation of baseball players, and let me say this, Kevin is a fantastic manager.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean,
right, and he's doing.
You weren't happy, I weren't happy, but who are we?
He's doing what his management wants them to do with analytics, and I totally get that. So, but I will tell you this. I would caution all of Major League Baseball, just as a fan, the reason we pay the money to go to these games is the excitement and, you know, to see those great things happen. And you take, like, Don Larson's perfect game in the World Series. You take Bob Gibson, any of these great, great players.
God rest his soul, both
their
souls.
None of those things would happen if it was analytics. They'd be pulling them out left and right. So you have to ask yourself, winning is what it's all about, but if you're going to win, like, the only way I can describe it is, you ever play a chess game with a computer? The computer makes all the right moves. How exciting is that? It's not. You want that human element.
So or poker.
Every once in a while, and this was a time I think all fans agree with, you got to let the horse run. And I think I was very upset watching them pull him out. very upset. I think it
Yes, you were. I'm glad I wasn't in the same room with you.
Oh,
I thought I was getting the text instead of the conversation.
I think it also kills the spirit of the pitcher a little bit.
Exactly, and you saw it did kill him.
I will tell you this real quick, and I think the fans will like this story. It's an intense game, and we don't want to take that out. Bob Gibson, God rest his soul, that just passed on. I'll tell you how intense it was. This is a man that threw at people to try to show him up. This is the toughest guy in baseball.
Met him several times.
There was a guy named Pete LeCocq that was a, you know, bench player. Very last game of Bob's career, pitching for the St. Louis Cardinals, Pete LeCocq hit a grand slam, and Bob lost, and that was the end of his career. You know, he retired. Almost 15 years later, they're at an old-timers game somewhere raising money for charity. And guess who comes to the plate? Pete LeCocq. First pitch, Gibson hits him.
How old the guys were they? In their 50s?
Yeah, probably, yeah. And you know what? I love Bob Gibson. I love Bob Gibson.
Well, I
don't want to see anybody get hurt, but I love Bob Gibson.
Well, I shared the story with you when we first – in fact, you were my first wingman when we started this show. Bob's from Omaha, Nebraska. And I was fortunate to have him on my show several times, and then at a signing. But he was in his 70s, and he was in West Omaha. This was well chronicled on SportsCenter and across the globe. A guy was tailgating him. Bob Gibson gets out at the next light and beats the holy crap out of him in his 70s. Bob had a bit of a temper.
Yep. But you know what? That's the horse you want in the race.
Oh,
you want the horse
shadow,
with the fire in its eye. And
hold on. We have Trainer Iowa. These are Iowans. They just are telling me there aren't enough Iowans around. These are very good friends of mine. Hey, don't be touching the merchandise unless you want to buy. Kenny and Sherry Knowles, two good friends of mine, just moved down here and live in the same neighborhood. And now we actually have two people listening to us.
And knowing you as I do, now I actually know you have a total of four friends in this world, and that's pretty good.
Well, I have to pay them and do a lot of favors for them. So, anyway, I digress. But he had just mentioned to me, they're both from the Boston area, New Hampshire, that no one, you have seen your open. We were just talking to Omaha. We were talking Bob Gibson. But anyway, they're telling me there's nobody from Iowa here. I said, sure.
The other half of my family is from Kansas City. So, yeah. Love Patrick Mahomes. Great quarterback.
Didn't you take your kids to the game?
Yes. Yeah, I didn't take them. I sent them.
You sent them?
I'm at the age where watching it on the big screen with my feet up is about as workout as it's going to be.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. It's not as crisp as I thought. It's not as cold. I mean, we're not in the sun, but it's a lot warmer than I anticipated. And remember, at 1:30, we'll have Panko live, a little music. Dave McCarthy's kind enough to join me, the executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation, and Jay Kolb, the music director of 96.7 FM, and we got a lot of exciting things to talk about in the future. I think what we'll do, Jay, is have you line up each and every Saturday for me, a musician to come down. We're going to be like the Jimmy Fallon show. We'll be a variety show, talk about everything, and then we'll have a couple songs each and every show. What do you think of that idea? Could you get your old band together?
Yeah, and the best part about your show is I can sleep in Saturday morning and still make it. That's, you know, at my age, that's a huge thing.
What do you mean? You have cost me a lot of sleep. I got on Netflix because of you.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. 2-3 in the morning, I get caught on something. What was the one you told me to watch from Norway? What was that?
Oh, what's the name of that? Tony Soprano guy. Hilda, it begins with an H. It's the name of a...
No, it begins with an L. It's a town.
Lilyhammer. Great, great series.
And that, did they actually have the Winter Olympics there?
Yes, that's why they... Yeah.
Do you have Netflix? Yes. You've got to watch this. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So he gets me caught on that one, starting back all around baseball season. And now I lay in bed with my laptop. About 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I do. I was on Netflix last night. I mean, I never
you got
had
any
time
more suggestions?
With all that. Yeah, I love The Crown. I actually bodyguarded Prince Charles back in the 80s when he came to the United States in Boston, believe it or not.
What was he like?
You know, I liked him. First of all, The Crown, you
got
to remember about The Crown, it's Hollywood. So they're making him the bad guy on everything, and I don't know how true that is. I don't think so. But the thing that... as you know, I come from not only Ted Williams, but several presidential details. So I bodyguarded a lot of famous people when I was a young guy. The one thing that struck me about Prince Charles coming to Boston, it was starting to rain. this guy's royalty. Unlike a Hollywood star, he doesn't have to stand out there with the crowd or anything. But when he pulled up, we were on the door. He knew that those people had stood there for a long time to see, at the time, what was going to be the next future king of England. And he got out of the car, and he got pretty wet, but he went to every single line and waved at the people and let them take pictures and so forth. And say what you want about royalty if you hate it or you don't hate it. He didn't have to do that. He knew those people had waited. So he gets an extra check mark in my book for that. I don't think the man, his mom, I love his mom, the Queen of England.
Was she 94?
Yeah, and the whole thing fell on her, and she's held it together pretty well. But this is a kid I don't think at the time cut out to be king, and I can't imagine.
No option deal, basically.
Right, and I can't imagine, and some people get angry probably listening to me say this, but I don't think when you're thrown into that position, it's good for every, you know, for. I would love it. I'd love to be. I'd be at every event and waving.
Oh, yeah.
You know, doing my thing. But a lot of people are shocked.
Your Secret Service, your bodyguards would be madder than hell at you.
Oh, my gosh, you know. you know, when the crowd used to yell, and I'd take Governor Sununu through it, I was kind of waving, thinking they're yelling for me, too. You know, hey, how you doing, you know. But anyway, long story short, I think it's a tremendous pressure to put on any human being. And I give him a little bit of slack because I.
Pretty nice perks, though, dude.
Yeah, but you don't know the other side of it. You know, I watch these guys work and what they do. Everybody says, oh, all he does is just walk around and everybody, you know. No, there's very little time to yourself. Everything you do is in the press. You're criticized left and right. It's not the gravy train everybody thinks.
Hey, I'm going to turn this over to Jay so he can talk a little sports too. And here's a topic that I think will be of interest. I pulled this out of the New York Post. I like to read that because they have the best sports. No, you two will do it. I'm going to make certain I get everything said for it. How about this story? Mickey Mantle card goes for it. What, 5.2?
Yeah, 5.2. I saw that. And I have one similar to that, but I'll guarantee you it's not worth anything near that. I don't understand cards well. Maybe you do.
No.
But I look, these guys are at the point where however the corner is, however,
right.
You know, it blows me away how they can say that's worth that.
I know.
And another one's not, you know, I'm not sure.
The thing that I always think about with these kinds of things, or there's a similar thing in the music world, where if you have a 1938 Martin D45, that guitar is probably worth $750,000.
Right.
Dollars.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen in 20 years when the baby boomers are gone and the younger generation doesn't really care about Mickey Mantle
right.
cards or, you know, pre-war Martin D45s. I mean, I'm not sure that's a really good investment, let's put it that way.
You know, I agree with you, but the other side of it is, I keep saying that, like, about that, I'm having a blank here, folks, forgive me for my age.
Honus
Wagner card.
There you go.
Every year I go, you know what, that's crazy. The guy spent $10 million, and then the next thing you know, it's sold for $15
million.
But I will tell you this. The money to be made, and I used to travel with Mantle and Ted Williams and all these guys. We would do shows at the Tropicana in Atlantic City. We'd go do shows in New York City, Vegas. The money to be made with memorabilia was in the 90s.
Mm.
People were spending like you couldn't believe.
Yeah.
But now, it's not only got a little watered down, as has baseball cards,
mm-hmm.
but they'll grab, like, hi, I'm a middle reliever for St. Louis, and they have a signing, and people will all buy a guy's signed pitcher, and it's worthless because I always tell people, if you want to invest, get a Hall of Famer.
Right.
At least you'll always have a Hall of Famer. But as the generations die out, and I've seen it with Ted Williams, we went from selling him at big to, in the Boston location we have at Fenway, they all wanted Kyle Yastrzemski. That's my generation, and
right.
that's dying out.
Yeah.
So now you're down to Jason Veritek.
Yeah.
And I think the Yankees will tell you the same thing. It's Derek Jeter that's carrying the money.
Yeah.
And eventually that's going to go south.
Right.
And it's Mariano Rivera and some of these other guys that they want. So it's a crazy market.
Yeah.
I don't totally understand it, and I've been in it all my life. yay. Good luck to you if you got $5 million for a Mickey Mantle card.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. It's the top of the hour. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. That's David McCarthy. He is the executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation, and Jay Kolb came down to you guys kind of carry me today down here. I appreciate this. I tell you what, the toughest transition for me, and he and I did this the first show, because you can't tape interviews yet. I haven't mastered that. I haven't mastered a lot of this, obviously. But no tape, and I was used to 15-minute segments, take a 6-minute break, 3-minute break, you know, to rally and come up with another topic, discuss things during the break. That doesn't happen when you're doing these podcasts.
That's
It's nonstop conversation. Fortunately, I've got guys that have plenty of information in their gray matter, or we'd be in trouble, I can assure you that.
Or we'll just make it up, you know. Whether
just wing it?
Yes and no.
There you go.
As I mentioned, 2 games today down here at Ferg's. You've got the Packers at 4:35 against the Los Angeles Rams. The Buffalo Bills take on the Ravens at 8:15. They have not been successful since the 90s, and Jim Kelly and that great group of players. And then tomorrow, it's the early game is the Browns against the Chiefs, 3:15 kick. And then at 6:35 down here, it'll be a madhouse. The Bucks stop here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill as the Buccaneers take on the New Orleans Saints. And right now, the Saints are a 3.5-point favorite. That'd probably be a good bet. And the Packers are a 6.5-point favorite over the Los Angeles Rams. That game concerns me. As I mentioned, there's 85 televisions in here. Social distancing be a big factor right now over the weekend. So get down here early, get your table, and there'll be a lot of your fellow fans.
Whoa!
Well, we got a little wind issue here.
Man down.
Did we lose Gronkowski? That's all I care about. Gronk. Gronk's at the Gronk jersey just fell. I'll just lay that down. Just had a little, nothing like live radio. Right. When you're out doing an event, we just lost 2 signs behind us, and my 500. Did you say 595 for Gronkowski? 599. Gronkowski. Gronk just hit the cement, but I don't think they don't want to hear that tomorrow. Gronk goes down.
It's now a game used jersey.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Now you just went up.
Yeah, right in the middle of the battle here. And as I mentioned, 1:30. That was exciting.
Okay, no dead air here. We got to keep talking. We had all the signs fall down, everybody.
Well, I wondered, what the hell is going on?
You know, I don't know.
You reacted well.
You Iowa guys, you got to use more than scotch tape to put these signs up.
I did not put that up there. But I tell you what, it's weathered a lot of storms of late.
You know, your Green Bay Packers, I got to tell you, look out. I was stunned by that L.A. Rams defense last week.
I'm not comfortable.
I was stunned. I think the only saving grace for you is I'm not sold on Goff. And Green Bay is a very tough place to play. But I've watched Green Bay this year. They've looked overwhelming, and then all of a sudden they'll play a game. And
they did against the Bucks.
And they can't stop anybody.
The Bucks pounded the heck out of them.
Yeah. So
and the Saints. So both those teams scare me.
Yep.
If they do get by Los Angeles, both the Bucks and the Saints handled the Packers quite easily. But it'll be in Green Bay.
You have a huge advantage. It's got to go through Green Bay, and that's a huge advantage.
But it's like balmy up there right now. It's in the 30s. That's balmy for January.
Green Bay, the only place that goes to Des Moines, Iowa for excitement.
Hey, it's about the size. Have you ever been there?
Yes, I've been to Green Bay.
Yeah, it's about the size. I used to go every year with one of my sons. It's about the same size as my hometown, Sioux City, Iowa. So it's kind of unique. It's cool. It's like a college stadium because it's right in the middle of a neighborhood. You know, those small little homes run out of the value of those, who knows. But it's a unique, and it's owned by shareholders and a community.
I'll tell you what stunned me. As you know, I do the Minnesota Twins, and we're doing some it looks like we're going to be doing the Minnesota Vikings next year. What stuns me is when it gets to be football season, we actually, in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, sell more Green Bay stuff than we do Viking stuff. We'll put it on the table, charity auctions, and people
right across the river.
There
right
are so many people up there that are Green Bay fans and have been for years. And of course, the Vikings are a great tradition team, great organization. But I'm always amazed at how many people are divided in the state of Minnesota over Green Bay
on both sides of the river, actually. And those are great battles. But still go back to the Packers and the Bears are the old traditional. That's the original NFL. And George Halas actually lent Curly Lambeau the money to keep his team alive back in the day. There's a little history for you.
I did not know that. Yeah. I know one thing. I do know Papa Bear went into the locker room when Vince Lombardi was there and said, "Vince, I just want to tell you, we're going to kick your boop." And that was in the days they didn't talk like that on the air. So I've always loved Papa Bear and the Bear defense. Hey, Green Bay and Chicago, I mean, that's tradition.
Growing up in Western Iowa, you know, in the 60s, we got the feed out of Chicago. We didn't get the Packers, but my grandfather was a Packer. He worked in the stockyards, and he kind of raised me at that age. And so that's how I became a Green Bay Packer fan. But we got all the Bears games. Lindsey Nelson used to call the Notre Dame games, too, remember?
Well, this may come as a shock to a lot of people, but growing up in Massachusetts, we never got the Patriots. They weren't on TV. We got all the New York Giant games. And it started out when I was a kid. We'd watch the New York Giants playing at Yankee Stadium. So a lot of people in New England grew up Giant fans and then switched over. But it's funny, years later, they win two Super Bowls against us, and we're cursing them the day long. But a lot of people grew up Giant fans because of the coverage.
All right, so we're doing live radio. Music's in the house. Mike Panko. This is Jay Kolb. And those two can talk. You're going to stay on the mic. These guys are going to talk off air here, and you and I give him an idea
well,
of how we're going to have to.
Geez, Mike, looks like you got the better part of the deal.
Anyway, that's Mike Panko. Panko's going to play a couple of songs here at about 1:30. Melissa Myers will join them, and we're going to talk about their gigs. There was an event that was going to be held here on the 5th, the Super Bowl of Rock, and they had to move that now. The Super Bowl of Rock is going to be April 2nd.
Okay.
And Panko was going to be one of the bands, and last week we had Mike Twitty of Folk U. Mm-hmm. Folk U, folk, I didn't say.
Yeah, I didn't say you said anything.
No, but he's the treasurer for Pinellas County.
Really?
Great guy, very interesting, and he was down here last week and played guitar and had his two sons with him. And I said, where'd you come up with that name? He's been doing this quite a while. And he said, I went to Florida. And I was always in music, and he said, I was a finance major, and he said, I thought Florida U. Well, music, folk. And then his buddy said, "Folk you too," and the T-shirts took off, and you'd enjoy his music, Mike Twitty, Folk
cool.
University,
very cool.
Okay, so I was going to go back to my Packers conversation versus the Bears. Watch the Bears each and every week, but I was a Packer fan. I was fortunate enough to meet Dale Sayers on two occasions. God rest his soul, great guy.
Oh, one of the greatest of all time.
And met Dick Butkus. Yep. In about 2005, met Butkus in Kansas City. And I said, you know, if I wasn't a Packer fan, I would have been a Bears fan. And I said, I always loved number 66, Ray Nitschke. He goes, Nitschke and I were close friends. But Butkus was lean, mean, had a hand twice the size of mine, but just a nice guy.
Oh, yeah,
came across as rough and gruff, but he's not.
No, and you know, it's kind of like those wrestlers. They, you know, the WWE, the bigger and tougher they are, the nicer they seem to be. But those were the great guys, and a lot of this generation, you know, these young kids today growing up, you know, a lot of them don't think back to those guys. Those guys, some of them, Chuck Benarek from the Philadelphia Eagles, these guys played both ways. They play defense, and then they'd stay out and play offense. Today, a guy does two plays, and he runs off, and he's on the sideline getting his breath.
Well, Dick Butkus, he went to Illinois, and he actually played fullback and linebacker.
Yep,
that's just
insane. Yep, and those helmets, there couldn't have been much protection in those days.
No,
your head would rattle around like a coconut in a can. I mean, it was crazy.
Okay, now did they have face masks when you played?
Yeah. Whoa. Yes, we had face masks.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're what, 68?
Hey, guess what else? My guitar was electric.
What? You're 68, right?
Yes, I'm 68.
Yep. My dad's still alive. He's 82. And he played at college ball, and he graduated from high school in 56. He didn't have face masks in 56. A few of the players would get them if they had something happen to their face. He said, but you'd have to be like a quarterback, and it was like a fiberglass, I don't know, you know, plastic. But he didn't play a face mask.
You know, can I jump in with a quick story?
Sure.
You know, Bobby.
That's why you're here.
Bobby Lane was the quarterback of the Detroit Lions. Tough, tough guy. I mean, out playing in clubs all night and drinking and everything.
Paul Horney.
So, yeah. And anyway, Art Donovan, the old Baltimore Colt guy. And, yes, I said Baltimore Colts. They'll always be Baltimore to me. He tells the story. They blitz Bobby. He'd been out all night. They blitz him, and they get down in the bottom of the pile. And, of course, guys are gouging each other's eyes and punching. I mean, this is old-time football. And Art weighs about 350 pounds, rolls over, and he's on top of Bobby. And Bobby, they're nose-to-nose. So he goes, "Hey, Bobby, how you doing?" And Bobby goes, "Good, Art." And he goes, "It just overwhelmed me, the whiskey." And he said,
"Whiskey breath?"
He goes, "I looked at him. I said, 'Oh, Bobby, were you out all night?'" And he looks at me and goes, "Nah, I had a couple at halftime."
Yeah, probably to get rid of his hangover.
Right. So, you know, that's why guys like you and I, to the new generation, we're a little desensitized to this touchy-feely stuff.
Oh, precisely.
We were in the day where they'd kick off. If they wanted to get a player, they wouldn't even get the guy with the ball. They'd chase the player to the sideline.
Kick him out.
Beat the living, you know what out of him. And they'd get thrown out of the game. But that it was a brutal game. Brutal.
Well, in fact, some stories, I read a book about Joe Namath, and he'd be in the huddles.
Yeah.
And the players, Matt Snell and those guys, they'd be madding the hell out of him. Don Maynard, they'd be like, "Joe, he told us you weren't going to go out last night."
Yeah.
Only went out for a few boys, and they said, but he played great.
Right.
But they could smell him in the huddle, you know. Unbelievable.
No, these guys, it was a whole different time. It was a tough generation. And I'm not saying I want it like that today. Don't get me wrong.
Sure you do.
But
you and I want the clock turned back, so we're a little younger.
Well, I just want people to have a little bit more of a reality. Everyone's offended today. Everybody's afraid somebody got touched. Let's talk about that game, Clemson against Ohio State, for the right to play Alabama, or the right to get killed by Alabama. That game, that Clemson linebacker got thrown out for targeting. That was a great shot. I was a referee in high school and college for about 20 years. That's one of the worst calls I've ever seen in my life. And I'm all for protecting kids. But you know what? I think Jack Lambert said it. Maybe we ought to just put dresses on the quarterbacks. I mean, you even look at one the wrong way, you're getting thrown out of the game. It's crazy.
Well, as I said, talent's showing up. Melissa Myers is in the house. They're going to play about 1:30. Mike Pankel and Melissa Myers. We're going to wing it here. I assure you it's going to sound great because they sound great. And then they'll kick us off the mics, my friend.
That's good. I won't get a parking ticket, so I'll be able to move the car. That's great.
Can't you use your juice as a former state police
captain? That doesn't work anymore. Those days are over.
I did have a question. I'm talking to Dave McCarthy. He's the executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation. Jay Kolb's down here. We're going to have a little music half hour here at 1:30 as Panko joins us. I had a question. You're talking about you used to be, you were security for a couple presidents. Which presidents? Or can't you tell us?
Oh, I can tell you this. No, there's no secret. I still have some of my old books that are obsolete now, but I was on motorcades all the way back to Nixon, Ford. Then I went to Secret Service school. Governor of New Hampshire in 1976 was a guy named Meldrum Thompson, a Republican. So I was his driver and bodyguard for 2 years, traveled all over the country with him, and I took care of all the, if there was a presidential visit, I would drive the lead car or be in the motorcade. Then Reagan came, I did it for him, I have photos of this, I did it for Bill Clinton.
I believe you, don't need photos.
In fact, my buddy was Bill Clinton's driver when he was governor down in Arkansas. So
really?
Yeah, so you kind of get to know each other like sports guys.
You carry shotguns down there, don't you?
Nah, you know, it's security is preventing it from happening. It's not being James Bond. You know what I mean? So I got those guys, and then I drove John Sununu for 6 years. And here's the funny thing. His little son, he had seven kids. One of them's name was Christopher. And I'd say, "Chris, get your boop in the car. Your father's mad." And I'd throw him in the back seat. Well, Chris is now the governor of New Hampshire as we speak. And I saw him about a year ago, and I said, "Are you finally getting in on time?" He goes, "Yeah, I got a trooper now, like you did for my dad to get me around." So, I had a great opportunity, and I met a lot of nice people. I'm going to tell you something, Paul. I'm not going to get into politics, but I'm going to tell you this. Most policemen lean to the right a little bit. We're conservative military by nature. But I really enjoyed Bill Clinton. I'm going to leave his wife
too
out of it, but Bill was a brilliant guy. I know John Sununu got along well with him. I enjoyed doing some details with him, and I met a lot of these men. They have to pay the price to get to that position, and a lot of them are brilliant guys. So I learned a lot. And that opened the door. We were running with George Bush Sr. I did senior and junior. We were running for president in New Hampshire every 4 years is the first in the nation primary. So I had Ted Williams was up there, and that's how I met him. And that's how I wound up in baseball with all these teams because of my relationship meeting him. And then that led to...
That's what I was curious about. And I know you had told me before is how you met Ted Williams and how you forged that relationship to be an executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I met him there, but what happened was we had 1986 where the Red Sox got to the World Series. And I brought...
I can't believe I have you both on and you're Red Sox fans. And
I'm not a Red Sox fan. Let's get that right through your head right now. I'm a Rays fan, okay?
This beautiful woman just walked by and waved at me. Well, I spent a little bit of time with her.
You scared me for a minute because that guy's
That's
got a beard.
That's my girlfriend. Okay. That's Terry. He thinks I'm just trying to hustle random women. Look at that one, boys.
Yep. So everybody loves a radio star. What are you going to do, right?
Yeah, right. But
yeah, anyway, we went to Fenway. We were in the owner's suite, and Ted's son came in, and a lot of young kids have a thing for state troopers. You got the big hat and the gun, and he spent the whole night talking to me. Ted pulled me aside and said, thank you for spending time with my kid. And I said, hey, you know, like to work with kids anytime. That turned into a 14-year relationship. The kid used to stay at my house on weekends, and I would travel with him and his dad. And when Ted got older and he couldn't get around without getting crushed, nobody's going to kill him. They're going to crush him in the crowd. We would go to New York City, and we would go to these different places, and that's how I kind of fell into this thing. And I met Mantle and all these other guys. I was just very fortunate.
Hey, do me a favor. We need a little humor story. Would you tell the story about Ted on the golf course? Because we're going to turn everything over to Jay here in a minute to handle the music element. But
yeah, there was
a great story. Listen to this.
Ted Williams lived in Citrus Hills, which is in Hernando, Florida, and he played, you know, mostly played golf by himself because...
Your dad would love this story.
You could hear him. Everybody's ever told me that's been on a golf course when Ted was out there is you could hear the swears. And Ted just couldn't hit a golf ball the way he could hit a baseball. And so a guy by the name of Eddie Berry that played for the Bruins in 1949, older man, is following him with his wife. And Ted had got these brand-new golf clubs presented to him by somebody. And anyway, Ted hits the ball and it goes into this pond. And they can hear him up ahead, and they look, and he picks the golf clubs up, and he throws them into the pond. And he storms off. Well, Eddie's got his first dime. So Eddie's like, hey, those golf clubs are Ted's. They're worth money. Plus, they're brand new. They're worth money. So the wife goes, no. He might come back. He goes, he's not coming back. So Eddie takes about 3 feet, and all of a sudden she goes, look out. Here he comes. So he hangs back, and he watches Ted. Ted comes up, takes his shoes off, socks off. Pulls his pants up to his knees, wades out into the water, feels around, finds the golf clubs, picks them up, unzips the side, takes his car keys out, throws the clubs back in the water, and leaves.
That's my favorite story, especially since we're going to start doing a 15 minutes on the tee each and every Saturday, starting in February. Actually, I want to talk about that. The Sony Open's taking place in Hawaii, so if you think you're chilly here in Florida, go ahead and watch the Golf Channel about 6 o'clock. It was 84 degrees in Hawaii. Have you been to Hawaii?
Oh yeah, I've been to Hawaii. Yep.
Well, I just told her that's our next bucket list. We're going to Hawaii. You been to Hawaii?
Yeah.
Well, you've been all over the world.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of things. A couple of
see, he's from Iowa, so. He doesn't realize the rest of the world has been outside of Des Moines and Kansas City. Yes, we've been to Hawaii.
Listen, pal, there's two more islands over here. We're starting to outnumber you. 3-2. Of course, Melissa's from the Northeast, too. So. Okay. So as we're preparing for our music element, we're going to do this each and every Saturday. We'll have an artist come down, and we'll be promoting 96.7 FM, Sunshine, all local musicians. And Panko's got some of their CDs out here. Mike and Melissa will wing it on like we do.
Yeah.
We'll hook the mics up, and we'll be ready to roll. Now, I want Mr. McCarthy's picks for the weekend. Packers-Rams. You want point spread or just straight up?
No. I don't have a favorite horse in that race, but I'm going to be quite honest. I just think the Packers are tough to beat.
Defense wins championships, and that Rams defense is solid. They got a good running game.
That's a great. I use that quote all the time.
I'm nervous.
I guess I can't call it. If I had to get stuck calling it, I still have to lean. Aaron Rodgers is unbelievable. I got to lean towards the Packers.
And it's in the frozen tundra.
Yep.
But it'd barely be frozen.
Well, if you're from L.A., anything over 50 degrees, under 50 degrees is frozen. So, you know.
Exactly. And then the Buffalo Bills. I kind of like that team. Well, they got four Hawkeyes on the team, so I do like that. Buffalo Bills against the Baltimore Ravens. I didn't say Colts.
I'm rooting for the Bills. I think they're fans of long suffering. I love the Buffalo. I hope they do well. But that Lamar Jackson scares me to death.
And he's playing better than any quarterback right now.
I think the only way you stop him, just put it all on containing him from running and make him throw. If he beats you, he beats you. But I would not let him run. If I had to put three guys on him, I'd do it. You got to shut down that run.
And then tomorrow, you got the Chiefs and the Browns. The Chiefs are a 10-point favorite. At Arrowhead is a tough place to play. And the crowd factor doesn't play in that much.
My heart is with the Chiefs. I love Mahomes. But I'm going to be right up front with you. If you track the last five games he's played, he's gone down. The Kansas City,
but the expectations are so high.
But hold on, the Kansas City defense has let a lot of yardage out, and then top this off, I don't like a team that takes 3 weeks off.
I'm worried about the Packers.
Yeah, you know what? You see it in baseball all the time.
That's the analogy I used with my son yesterday. I said the wild card teams many times advance into the playoffs because they're playing.
You got one advantage with the Browns, and their fans are long-suffering. I'd love to see them do well. But the thing about the Cleveland Browns, they can score, and they're great. But I watched that Pittsburgh game, and I enjoyed watching it because I was rooting for the Browns. But I'm going to tell you this. If he goes for it on 4th-and-1 and makes it and scores, it becomes a four-point game after 28-0.
I didn't understand that.
So I didn't understand it either. So here's my concern. I know they can get a lead. Can they hold it? That's the problem.
Yeah, I did not understand that philosophy from the Steelers.
And last but not least, I would feel a lot better about the Bucs if we were playing here instead of out there. However,
down there.
However, I spent 20 years of my life being a New England fan watching Tom Brady play, and I never count him out. And I don't care about that last game. That last game, the Bucs weren't as bad as they looked, and neither was New Orleans as good as they looked. So I like that game. I think it's going to be down and dirty. Let's see. Let's go Bucs.
Hey, this is why you bring talented people around you. You got a guy that's prepared for everything. Jay, there was a reason why we went to lunch, and I bought the other day. Exactly. I mean, we've had to fumble, stumble, and bumble here with this equipment, but shows up with the mic stand. Now, were you a vocalist?
I was backup. I'm not a good singer.
You played guitar?
Yep, I played guitar.
We had a musician here going back in the day.
In 69, when it was really rock and roll. You know what happened? Around 72, 73, everybody started sitting on the floor, you know, and like getting into it. And we were a dance band, so we're like, see you later. I'm out the door.
Adios,
you
know? Amigos.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, you do it very well. You got any old video? Oh, they didn't have video back then.
Actually, they did, and yesterday I do. I still got that 45 record. I just don't have a machine that can play it.
All right, so let's go back to the last game, the most important game. And then tomorrow night, 6:35, this place will be rocking. The Bucks stop here. I'll be down here representing the Ted Williams Foundation, much to his pleasure. And I'll text you when I just have to put up the white flag because I'm too damn cold.
Yeah. Sell something, will you? Because, you know, we got to pay the bills. So they're going to shut the lights off.
I think I got the Allstott helmet.
That's a gorgeous helmet. I love that thing.
It's in the trunk. I think he's going to show up today, actually, while you're here. I told him to get down here.
That's a great helmet. Mike Allstott, by the way, what a great guy. What a great, not a great football player, but what a great guy.
He lives across the street from Ferg.
No kidding.
Yeah, and Mark's efforting, but everybody's pulling at him right now.
I bet.
He's efforting to get him down here to come on the show, and that'd be great. Okay, so Bucks Saints.
No, I mean.
Not your gut, your sports IQ. Who wins it?
You know, on any given Sunday, right? I mean, when you get
a movie.
When you get to the playoffs. You don't know what's going to happen because sometimes the opening play, like what happened with the Browns last week, changes the whole complex of the game. All right, I'm going to be right up front with you. The Saints have the edge. They're playing at home. They have a tremendous hard-hitting defense. Drew Brees, who, by the way, wears number 9 because he loves Ted Williams. So as much as I love Drew Brees, I'm, excuse me. I am a
Tom. Cold?
Yeah, I am. I'm a Tom Brady guy. I never count Tom Brady out, especially when there's blood in the water. He's a shark. So I'm going to say Bucks upsetting them. I'm going to go with the Bucks.
Well, again, they say the Bulls, he's the Bulls, B-O-W-L-E-S, not Bulls. Todd is going to take the gloves off with that defense.
Yep.
Because, and I was listening to that today, they want to make certain that they go after the ribs of Drew Brees. And that sounds dirty football, but that's like we were talking about back in the 60s, 50s.
Ask no quarter and give none.
That's precisely.
This is war. Somebody's going home. Somebody's going to lose a lot of money. Every one of those players get more money if they win. This is
and
blood
coaches.
Right. This is what you play football for. So I don't want to see Drew Brees get hurt, but guess what? Business is business, and you don't want to be in the fight. Stay out of it.
Exactly. All right. Well, you and I've got a couple of minutes here. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, we're going to be down here. I'll be here, same spot, right here on Central at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. 6:35 is the kick. This place will be jammed, but we're doing social distancing, so I encourage you to get down here early. You won't be able to stand around. Every seat will be available in this place, outdoors, indoors. If there's a television, it will have the Bucks game on tomorrow night at 6:35, and hopefully a Bucks win. Wouldn't that be incredible? Well, I wouldn't be happy, but it'd be great for the area. Tampa wins. They go up to Green Bay, and they win that game.
Oh, I'd love to.
And the 55th Super Bowl has the
host right
team.
Here, that would be the greatest thing in the world. I'd love to see the Bucks in the Super Bowl. That would nothing better.
Well, and what about the local economy?
We'll be able to do a little, but not what we – listen, I'm still getting over losing the World Series, having it out there in, you know,
wherever you guys Texas. Want. We're rocking and rolling live here. And we're going to hand the mic over
all
to
righty.
Jay. He knows what he's doing. And you guys ready? As I said, it's Panko. And it's Melissa Myers and Mike Panko. They're friends. I've actually been watching Melissa for 4 years. Very good friend of my girlfriend, Terry, with the Rockin' Raccoons. And she does a superb job. And they've combined up to we've got a nice CD. You'll be able to hear him on 96.7 FM, J. Cole. And I'm going to start, I don't know if you knew this, but I'm going to start sometime in February, I'm going to have a three-hour show on Sundays. We're going to go on the beach, live music. You know, we'll pick a venue, and then I'll interview people during the breaks and the owners, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing that as well. Well, my friend, I certainly appreciate you coming down. Any last words?
No, just go Bucks, and let's bring it back to Tampa Bay.
You are a bandwagon rider. You got that Jaguars hat on because you make money there.
I got the Jaguars hat on because it was free.
Well, get me another free hat. I need some more hats. I don't have any hats. I got about 200. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Jay now, and we're going to have a little live music from Panko.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Mike. So this is Jay Cole from RadioSaintPete.com. I'm the music director, and we are absolutely thrilled here. We have Panko, which is Mike Panko and Melissa Myers. They're going to sing a few tunes for us. You're listening to Radio St. Pete, where local music lives.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm Melissa, and here's Mike Panko, and we're going to play a song called Getting Through to You, a blues tune. Woke up on the wrong side of me for the very last time. Slamming doors and throwing things, about to lose my mind. Picking fights and drunken nights, Something's got to change. Gave you so many chances. Think you'd have it figured out. So now it's come to this. All we do is scream and shout. Do you really want to change me? Should we say goodbye? Am I getting through to you? None of this really should be news to you. Tell me, am I getting through to you? None of this really should be news to you.
Hey, that's great. Thank you very much. Once again, you're listening to Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7 FM, where local music lives. And that was Mike Panko and Melissa Myers, and they're going to play a couple more tunes for us here. What are you going to play next?
Called, what are we doing? Hurry Up and Wait. Hurry Up and Wait. That's what we'll do. Hurry Up and Wait. Isn't that a great line? Happens to me all the time. Hurry up to do something. That's true. That is true. Yes.
Thank you.
down and sideways. A roller coaster ride, it leaves me in a daze. Save me or love me, that's all I want from you. Hurry up and wait to see it. You don't want me. Just let me live my life my way. That's all you owe me. It's never too late to say that. You don't want me.
All right. Absolutely awesome. Again, you're listening to Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7 FM. And that was Mike Panko and Melissa Myers. We're down here at Ferg's on a beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon. We're getting ready for the Bucks tomorrow night. And we're going to have Mike and Melissa play one more tune here. What are you going to play?
We're going to do a song called Make Up My Mind. I like to say that Mike's wife helped us write this song. Tani. Tani Pendo. The beautiful Tani.
Yeah, would you make up my mind for me? Come on.
Yeah,
man.
Make up my mind. Woo! Makes you jiggle in your seat. Of my soul, you'll see my love start to grow. Out in the corners of my mind, I see that love's not so blind. There's a long way to go, long road to hoe. You've got to make up my mind. Be true. Why don't you just follow through? Well, put our love on the line. Please don't keep wasting my time. 'Cause there's a long way to go. Long road to hoe. You've got to make up my mind.
seems to be the status quo. We could really take a look at us and see which way to go. We could stay up all night talking, really beat it to the ground. Or we could finally put an end to us. But then my world starts shaking, my heart starts breaking. My love gets taken, just starts quaking, really shaking, quickly taken down, so far down. Stay down too long. You turn around and I'm gone. I'm afraid it's just too late. You've gone and sealed our fate. Woo! It's a long way to go. Long road to hoe. Such a long way to go. You've got to reap what you sow. Oh yeah, just make up my mind. Make up my mind. Make up my mind.
All right. Hey, that was awesome. One more time for Mike Panko and Melissa Myers. Absolutely great, guys. Love to have you down here at Ferg's. You're listening to Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7 FM, where local music lives. And we're going to turn it back over to Mike Rickford here.
Well, you're going to stick around with me, too, a little bit. Well, Dave's still here. We might get a few comments out of him. He's never been short of stories. And that was excellent, wasn't it?
Oh, that was fabulous. Absolutely wonderful. Having live music down here.
I've been following it. Well, actually, I'm going to do a little plug for the Rockin' Raccoons. They played it this evening at Sea Hags down on Treasure Island. And that's another band that Melissa is the lead singer in. So. And we're going to get them on 96.7, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've got the CD in my hot little hand here, and we will get these guys in the rotation ASAP.
Well, I'm looking forward to this project. You know, I had lunch the other day, and I think what I'm going to give you something else to do. You're going to find me live entertainment each and every Saturday.
Absolutely.
They can promote their gigs. They're going to be on 96.7. Their CDs, if they have a CD cut, and we'll have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. We will definitely make that happen.
So what lies have you been telling each other over there about New Hampshire, since you're both from New Hampshire? Get over here. You're going to make a couple more comments, I'm certain.
No, we're just talking old school. That's all, you know.
Because you're old.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. We're just telling lies about the old days, about
unlike
how good
we are.
Unlike you
guys in Iowa, we had electricity and music, and we had all those things going on. And then the best memory we were just talking about is when we both went to L.A. and we went over the flyover state, which that would be Iowa, your state. You know? I remember looking down going, I wonder what they do down there. No, all kidding aside, you got a beautiful country out there. But, yeah, we're just talking old school rock and roll.
Well, Mike Panku, thank you very much. That was excellent. We'll get you on 96. Well, he'll get you on 96.7. Yeah, and we'll see you your next gig. We'll be there. All right, brother. And Melissa Myers, she's playing tonight down at Sea Hags, Rockin' Raccoons. It's our favorite spot. I live about two blocks from there, so we may venture. Oh, we may not tonight. I've got my Green Bay Packers, and she has her grandkids. So our thoughts are with you, Melissa. Stop down to Sea Hags tonight and watch the Rockin' Raccoons. She's the lead singer. You must have a... Your job right now, it's not really a job. You're retired. You're like us. He retired how many years ago?
Oh, God, 2000.
Yeah. He's working harder now. Joe Bordeaux retired.
Yeah.
You retired. I'm the only guy that didn't retire. I got to keep fumbling, stumbling, bumbling, trying to make a buck here and there. I'm not as wealthy as you New Hampshireites. Or maybe I just didn't plan properly. Let's put it that way. He's a small businessman.
I married a very smart, very bright woman. She's got a finance degree from Lehigh, and I've been clinging.
Wow.
I've been clinging to her like grim death, and I'm going to keep doing it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jay, for getting this done tonight. I'm going to have him finish the show since he's still standing here with me. We got 5 minutes to wind things down.
I know, but I wanted to talk to him.
Well, someone has to talk on the mic with me.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about? Am I on? It doesn't sound
you're on.
I'm on. Okay.
Okay. So what are we hearing about spring training?
We're going to have about, they're looking at about, I think, 25%. I talked to somebody that does the Pirates games the other day, and they're saying like 2,500 or something like that. I'd like to
be able to participate?
Yeah, we will. I'd like to see it double, to be honest with you. I think being outside, and I think, you know, in fairness, a month or two from now, the vaccine may be out, and they may be upping those numbers. You know, it all depends on how the vaccine gets out and how things progress from here.
Exactly. I had Jeff Lance, a good buddy of mine. I don't think you've met him. He's the director of communications for minor league baseball.
Yeah.
And he was with me at the Iowa Cubs, and he was on last week. And the conversations that we had, what's very unfortunate, the minor league team.
Oh, it's a shame. They lost a lot of teams.
Lost.
It's a shame.
And you know, and three teams in the state of Iowa you guys do who do you do up north? You do a double-A team?
No. We do a double-A team in Manchester, New Hampshire.
That's
called the Blue Jays. They're called the New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
Did they get cut?
No, they didn't. They're
they
all
survived.
Set. They survived. They're double-A. In fact, that's where Bo and the kid from St. Pete here, Bichette,
yeah,
they all came out of New Hampshire. When they graduate single A in Dunedin, they go to New Hampshire, and then most of them make the jump right to the big club from there.
Okay. Well, you know, in Iowa, we lost the Clinton Lumber Kings.
Mm-hmm.
They lost their affiliation. And these small towns.
The Lumber Kings. I'm going to let that go with a warning.
You can quit bashing.
Just my old trooper days.
Hey, I'm gonna look.
What a great name, the Lumber Kings. That's the logo I'd want to walk around with. I like the Cornhuskers. I love that football team.
Oh, please don't. No, absolutely not.
White and red with a little N. Love them.
Got a little N for no wins recently.
But I do like your Hawkeyes though too. I like those two.
Well,
go ahead.
He went to Iowa State. He's a Cyclone.
No, I don't like Iowa State.
Attaboy. So let's get back to minor league baseball. Maybe I shouldn't bring up Iowa, so you keep bashing it. Iowa, you know what Iowa stands for? Idiots out wandering aimlessly.
Yep.
I've been told that many times. Idiots out wandering.
Yep.
Aimlessly.
No. That's fine. It's fine. But we should talk St. Pete because we're in St. Pete. We should talk baseball right here. So,
yeah. So the minor league situation, didn't they just, Newport Richey, they lost? I mean, Port Richey, they
lost. Port Richey, lost the Stone Crabs. They're gone.
What are they going to do now?
They're gone. They're bankrupt. I think they're bankrupt. I think some of those clubs bankrupt. I may be wrong.
Because they get a piece from Major League Baseball, and now that's gone away.
It has. Major League Baseball is restructuring. And I'm going to be right up front with you. I'm going to do something that no fan ever does. I'm not qualified, really, to talk to you about it because I only know what I read in the paper. And I know most of what I read in the paper is half true. So I really don't. I don't know the whole story, but I know they changed down. And
what Jeff told me, like we lost the Burlington Bees. And Burlington's a nice community, but that's owned by the city.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of financial backing with a guy named Randy Weingart whose pockets are very deep. And so they're gonna play like in collegiate leagues.
You know, it went the opposite up in Minnesota. I have the Twins.
They went AAA.
So I just gave them a call. We're actually going to probably try to work with them this year, the St. Paul Saints, because now they're the AAA team. But they used to be independent.
I wish that the St. Paul Saints, when I was with the AAA Iowa Cubs, would have been around. I just got hit by the traffic lady. But
yeah,
I,
you know what? I'm going to get out of here in a minute because she probably tagged my car.
No, No, I've got a couple of rounds, yep. And once they see it's me, they always let me off. That's the only perk of being on the radio.
I can tell you, being a cop all my life in my first career, parking people are not the same as regular cops. They don't care. They don't care. They would give their grandmother on her deathbed a parking ticket. I'm telling you right now. I've been, this is no lie, I've been at the scene of a homicide with a police car clearly marked, and I come out and there's a ticket on it. That's the honest to God truth.
Well, maybe you weren't very kind to that. Yeah.
I don't think we solved the murder, but we got my $25.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Anyway, back to the St. Paul Saints. That's a great move for you. Yeah. I wouldn't mind going up there with you on a trip. Bill Murray owns that team.
Bill Murray owns it, and I'm desperate enough, I might send you. So
Desperate enough.
Keep your passport ready.
I've got that AAA background. All right, my friend.
All right.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
God bless everybody. Go Bucks.
All right. That's Dave McCarthy, executive director. My Iowa contingency is leaving. Is my wing woman leaving too? All right. Anyway, Dave McCarthy, he's a character, isn't he?
Oh, great guy. Great guy.
I was excited to have you two together since you're both from. I didn't know that you were from New Hampshire.
I'm
from the Boston area.
Yeah, the Granite State.
The what?
The Granite State.
I didn't have it. Where's that come from?
Because there's a lot of granite up there.
And that's Jay Kolb. He is the music director of 96.7 Sunshine. And you got to be ecstatic about the opportunity to expand that station, the local music.
It's great.
We're doing today. We'll do more and more of it.
Absolutely.
You're working your tail off.
We are getting just a great response to the station. The listenership's up every day. We're getting more musicians every day. It's an exciting time to be part of this venture.
It's an exciting time to be part of RadioSt.Pete.com. And as I mentioned, this is the St. Pete Sports Connection. We're providing a portal for positivity, and we're kind of turning it into a variety show. We're talking about life, sharing stories, music, and we'll do it each and every Saturday from here from 12:15 to 2 o'clock. Live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 4:35 today is the first game, the Green Bay Packers against the Los Angeles Rams, and then the Bills against the Baltimore Ravens tonight. Tomorrow night, everybody waiting with bated breath. Off at 6:35 against the New Orleans Saints, and get a seat, get a table, because there won't, like the before the ball games, you've been there before, there won't be any standing. You'll have to have your mask on, and I'll be at the front gate taking temperatures, and we'll be monitoring the number of people coming in. And that's just a way to keep things open, don't you agree?
Absolutely. I'll do our part, and we'll get through this mess.
Well, what did you think of Panko? Had you ever heard him before?
I had heard the name. I hadn't heard too much of them, but I loved what I heard, and we are going to get them on the air for sure.
Okay, once again, give me the numbers of local musicians that you have in your inventory.
We have a little over 1,000 songs. I think we're like at 1,050, although I just added a few more today, this morning, and I'm going to add a few more when we get back to the station, and we'll get Panko on the air. And we have about 375 artists, bands, solos, duos, whatever. So we're moving forward really great.
I was talking to my son last night. I said, the old man at 64 years of age, he actually gets to enjoy his passions, music and sports.
What could be better?
That doesn't get any better, does it?
Absolutely. What could be better?
And you kind of got both. Do you run at all still?
I don't run anymore.
Did you ever run the Boston Marathon?
I did. My best time was in Boston. That's where I set my personal best.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Back in the day. I had a little game back in the day. I ran 2 hours and 22 minutes.
Little game? That's a lot of game.
Well, not by the real game standards, but yeah. I mean,
You ran the marathon in 2 hours and 22 minutes?
Uh-huh.
Now, folks, if you're not familiar with that time, that's very, very impressive. How old were you then?
Probably early 30s, I guess I was.
Wow. Did you run collegiately?
No, I did not.
Well, you could have.
Yeah, I could have.
I assure you that.
Yeah.
I ran collegiately. You could have easily. All right. Well, we're winding things down. My wing woman's ready for some wings, I think. And she's standing here. All right. For Dave McCarthy, Jay Kolb, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
And Mark Ferguson, Panko, Mike Panko, and Melissa Myers, Joe Bordeaux on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. We wish you and your families a great weekend. Be sure to check out Ferg's all weekend long for your NFL coverage and college basketball. As I said, over 85 televisions. God bless you. God bless America. And be sure to have a championship week.